Well, once again, Brent has given me lots of warning as far as saving his butt, but that's okay. So this week was originally supposed to be, well, it is still, the end of Brent's sermon series on the I Am, You Are. So as we look next week, we will begin in Advent. So this is the final week of this sermon series. So several times in the gospel, Jesus stated these I Am statements. And when we, as we dug into these scriptures, we've learned, these powerful truths about, the one that we're following. So over the past weeks, we've learned, we've considered eight of these Jesus statements. So we're going to go through a little bit of a recap again like last week. So shout it out if you can remember based on these pictures. So I am the... Well, okay, go back to the last one. So the first one was, I am the self-existent one. I don't know. To be honest, I missed that sermon, so if maybe you all did too. So, all right, the next one. So I am the, bread of life. I am the, next one. Not the sun. That's different sun, different spelling, Sean. All right, the next one, the gate, yes, the door of the sheepfold. All right, and the next one, the good shepherd. Next one, that's all we got. All right, yeah. So the compass was I am the way. Yeah, we lost some of the slides, so we're just going to have to go by memory. It's more recent. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then we had the picture of the grapes. I am the vine. And then last week was, I am the resurrection and life. And of course, we've also considered those you are statements in response to those. But this last one that we are going over this week, as far as I am and you are statements go, is I am the living one. So you can turn... in your Bibles, if you have them, to Revelation 1, 9 to 18. Begin to look at that passage there. Let's see if I can get there. I'm not the pastor. Revelation 1, 9 to 18. In the end of this passage, verses 17 and 18, says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the key of death and Hades. So I am the living one. I am, as Revelation 22:13, if you flip there as well, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and end. So he was at creation, and he's in the beginning. Now, Jesus is also saying that he is in the end. And as I read this and I was trying to articulate what Brent was thinking as far as how to word this, a couple thoughts came to my mind, and it's, as Jesus is the living one, he says, I am the living one. As Jesus is the living God, he was this, he was God's presence on earth. In my studies at Columbia right now, there's been one thing that I've kind of been just captivated by over my learning this semester. And as we've gone through some of the New Testament, and we've looked back as far as what, reading into the New Testament from the eyes of what the Jews were going through in that time, and with the time of like the Gentiles, and but Jesus had, you know, as we look through history, he had started creation. The Jews had worshipped God. You know, he made his presence known to them through the tabernacle, and that was where they could experience him, was in the tabernacle. And then Solomon built the temple, and then that was where God resided, was in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, eventually, because of, you know, Israel's continual rejection and falling away, God finally said, I had enough, and his presence left the temple. You know, as it was ransacked, it was destroyed before the exile. And Israel, you know, through that whole time of the exile and even into the coming of Jesus, Israel had this long expectant waiting of the return of God's presence. And it amazes me that, you know, they had tried, the Pharisees were trying to live so rightly and justly in order that it was hopefully by their righteous living, you know, putting as many rules as they could in order to not fail like the rest had, you know, that this would somehow, you know, maybe God would find pleasure in this and his presence would return. And then they missed it, because Jesus came down as God's own presence on earth. That it wasn't just, you know, they expected the Messiah, even the disciples, they got him confused, as, you know, a lot of people just had him, okay, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. But the implications that this was God on earth was missing in a lot of their stories. You know, but it's this story of how, you know, Jesus, he came to earth and then, you know, he died, he was resurrected, and then he returned to heaven. But that didn't end there, but his spirit actually came to us. And now we as the church are the temple. And it's this continuation of, you know, our story as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, we are not separate from the stories of the Israelites. You know, we are God's continuation of this story. You know, as we read through the Bible, you know, the Old Testament isn't separate from the New Testament, but it, you know, we are that continuation of this story. And that's how I saw this, of how we are, you know, God has been present in the beginning, and he's present in the end, but he's also present through the whole middle of that. And he's this statement of, I am the living one. And so in response to that, the you are statement is, you are the bride of Christ. You are the bride. So if you turn to Ephesians 5, 25 to 33. Actually, if you're still in Revelation, you can turn to Revelation 21, 9 quick, and we'll read that first. So Revelation 21, 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Ephesians 5, 25 to 33, if you want to turn there now. But we are the bride. You know, as a church, you know, as a whole, that we make up the body of Christ's love, which is the church. You know, it's this you are isn't necessarily an individual you, but plural, that this is us as a body together, that we are the body of Christ. We are the bride. So it's Christ, and I made this parallel as you read through Ephesians 5. We'll read that now, actually. 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ to the church, or talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. See, as Christ loves us as his church, you know, we are to love each other. So the implications of this "you are" statement is that we are to love each other as the body. You know, we are to take care of ourselves as the body because we love the body. We love ourselves. So husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. People of Cornerstone, love each other. As a church, we need to love each other. And as the church of Cornerstone, you know, we need to be in fellowship and love the other churches, you know, in our the other Baptist churches in our area. And as a denomination, as the fellowship, we need to love other denominations. You know, we need, whether Mennonite or Pentecostal or Catholic, you know, we need to love each other. Why? Because, you know, we are not alone God's bride, you know, but the whole church, this entire world, you know, our other fellow Christians, whether we disagree with them or not on certain things, you know, we are the body. They have their parts to play just as we do. We are called to love one another. John 13, 34 to 35. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, or as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." As we move into communion, I have these few last thoughts. Luke 22, 15 to 18. It says, "And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, 'Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" Until the kingdom of God comes. If you look at Revelation 19, 6 to 9, here we go. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.'" Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" And he added, "These are the true words of God." We have this, Jesus gave this "I am" statement that he is He is the living one. I am the living one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. And I see as we now take part in communion, you know, we look back at the beginning. We look back at Jesus' past as, you know, as he gave his life for us on the cross. But I see, you know, in Luke as Jesus is saying that I will not eat this again until the fulfillment in the kingdom, until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. I'm not entirely sure if I'm correct. You're going to have to probably look this up on your own after, which is the beauty of being a Christian. So, but as I made this distinction, it, you know, Jesus is going to eat this again at the wedding feast with his bride. And so as we take today, you know, we think of his death, but also, you know, his presence with us now as the living one. You know, what he's doing in your life now. But also, you know, what he's going to do in the end when we get to eat that feast with him again. So I'm going to invite Nathan up, and we're going to continue with communion.
The bread here, for those of you who have gluten intolerance or celiac disease, is made in a dedicated gluten-free bakery. So I would just ask that after I pray, we'll have the ushers come forward and pass the bread out, just that you would hold on to it, and we'll all take it together afterwards. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made for each and every one of us. His body was broken for us. I pray that we would never forget this. We would always remember the sacrifices made, that we may one day be with you again. Amen.
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Today there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring the sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes new life is born. Jesus is calling. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, in remembrance of him." Let's pray for the cup. Dear Jesus, we come before you humbled, that not only were you broken for us, but that you died for us, that you bled for us. I pray we would always remember this, and we would live our lives knowing the great sacrifice that was made for each one of us. Amen. Jesus said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins."
stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. Sin weighed upon your shoulder, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? And offer this heart, oh God, really. So I'll walk upon salvation, Spirit alive in me, life to declare your promise, my soul now. What can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, really. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, healing. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, giving all to the one who gave it all. Now stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned.
Father, thank you so much for just who you are, for being the living one, for coming down and making your presence here on earth. Jesus, also for leaving and then being able to send your Spirit, Father, to live in each of us, Father, and to Father, just to build up your church. Father, help us to love one another this week. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.